and we saw some things that God showed us, and we were extremely excited about it and truly excited to light a fire in our hearts. And heaven is such a wonderful place. I would say heaven is going to be a wonderful place, but heaven is already a wonderful place. It's not going to be anything. It's already a prepared place. It's already complete. And when I say complete, it's complete in everything. Everything in heaven is finished, perfected, completed, everything. We found last week that what we are viewing through, when we view through the glasses of this earth, we see only bits and parts of God's totality of his goodness. We only see through a glass darkly the things that God really wants to show us. And we found out last week that in viewing even the rainbow that encircles the throne of God is not an arc of a rainbow as we are accustomed to seeing. There's no rainbow as what we see here. It has a fixed color. It's not red, pink, green, blue, and yellow. In fact, God told his servant Noah back in the Old Testament that it would be a sign of a covenant, this rainbow on the earth. But in the rainbow in heaven, it is God's original design. Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 4 that it was emerald. Emerald is green. An all green rainbow is consistent and complete. Green speaks of life. It also speaks of the covenant that God has with us. And we were able to see that last week, and it's a complete rainbow where we'll be able to see the entire circle as it surrounds the throne of God. We said a few things last week that were mind-triggering. Hopefully, it triggered your mind enough to go and search out the matter. And yet, I hope that it didn't trigger you enough that you become hard in your heart over the things that were mentioned, especially when we mentioned the throne of God. It's mind-blowing for me, even as we shared that. I know it's mind-blowing for you. I couldn't think of anybody else that would sit on the throne of God but Jesus. But then I thought about it. I said, if Jesus is going to sit on the throne, where's the Father going to sit? And the Bible says that Jesus, when he ascended to heaven, he ascended to be seated at the... Now, let me say this to you, that just because the throne is mentioned numerous times, it does not mean that it is the only throne. Amen. God the Father, God the Creator, God has a throne. God the Son has a throne. In fact, the 24 elders have thrones. Your Bible might say seats, but they're really thrones. And to make matters even larger and loom even larger, Satan mentioned last week that he had one. Y'all missed that, didn't you? Didn't you miss that in Isaiah when he said, I will ascend, I will cause my throne? He said that. He said he had a throne. See? But there is one throne in heaven that all power in the created universe flows from, and that is the throne of God. That is an awesome place. When you understand it, when you can halfway, as I try to wrap my mental capacity around all power flowing from one base. It's easier like that when I can understand it and cause you to understand that all this power is coming from one place. Everything that's generated around us, every planet that sits in its rightful place, it sits there because of the orders that emanate from the throne. The sun shines by the power of the throne. You must understand that when this world was spoken into existence, the words were spoken from the throne. And God said. days. Just at the throne, the power just flowing from the throne. God the Father speaking, Jesus the Son architecting, the Holy Spirit hovering, waiting for the spoken word so he can put things in motion. Good God Almighty. This is the power of the triune God. Everybody's powerful. But there are stages that we mention when we say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. None even greater, none less. They're all equal in power. They're so one in unity that it's hard to discern. How can you claim three in one? Hard to try to discern it with our mental capacity. But the Bible calls it that. And we've come to know that that is the power of the Creator. He's the triune God. He's God. And you notice that the God the Father doesn't do what the God the Son does. God the Holy Spirit doesn't do what God the Son does. They all have offices. Offices where they operate. Jesus came in the guise of flesh, operating like the Father on the throne would operate if he had come down. But because his power is so unlimited, he couldn't walk this planet and be the creator of all things as God the Father. He had to send a man in flesh, and the Son said, I'll go. Holding back all the power that's in him being covered by flesh. Holding back as much as he could, and yet teaching us how things are in heaven. Hearing it from the throne, doing what the instructions from the throne said do. Amen. That's perfect. That you can have someone who will follow directions to the letter. And that's what Jesus did. Follow directions. How can you say he followed directions to the letter? He did everything the scriptures said he would do. Following the letter. Following the spoken word that God spoke into them, the minds and the mouths of men to pronounce his coming. God from the throne spoke that to them. The word of God is inspired of God. Men who wrote these letters and wrote these words were inspired by God from the throne. So what we have is a God that is past finding out. It is hard to comprehend God. It is hard for a man like John to even describe him, and he's standing there looking at him. It was hard for Ezekiel to describe him. He stood there looking at him. But God is so mighty, so powerful, so past our mindset that it's hard and difficult to describe, so you do the best you can. I'm going to describe him the best I can. Ezekiel said he was like a wheel. In a wheel. Eyes going this way and that way. And he's beyond description, but I do the best that I can. Moses said, Lord, just let me see your face. God told Moses, I can't let you. You wouldn't be able to take it. You couldn't take it if I showed myself. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll show you my hand. Arts. Put my hands on you, let you see behind me when I go by. No man can see God and live, scripture says. How powerful. We forget how powerful God really is, see. We see a little bit of workings on the planet Earth, we think that that's powerful. Because we see a little miracle here, a little miracle there. You understand that Jesus never called his miracles miracles. Jesus said, the works that I do. These are works cut from Zion. This is how it's done in heaven. These are works. Works. Just works. Nothing new. Nothing fantastic. Just works. Peter and John walking up to the gate called Beautiful, asked the individuals after they call on the name of Jesus, why look upon us as if we did something? Why y'all looking at us? It's not us. It's not about us. It's that name and faith in that name that caused this man to get up. Jesus is doing things, but he said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. That is a decree from heaven. Whatever he says, do it. Remember, it was spoken out of his mother's mouth. That was a voice from heaven. That was heaven speaking through his mom. Whatever he said, do it. The voice of the Father speaking down in Mary's heart. Speak to him. And now we're on a journey where we are transitioning, where we have to move. You have to understand this. You and I are moving from one dimension to another. Now, you hear people talk about that all the time. This is the real move. This is the real next dimension. See, people tell you, well, it's time for you to go to another dimension now and still be on earth. Y'all gonna have to pray with me. Y'all, you hear it all the time. It's time to go to another dimension. God, glory to God. Come on, let me put my hands on you and take you to another dimension. If you ain't taking me to heaven, don't put no hands on me. How can you go to another dimension and still live here? No. It sounds good. It sounds enlightening. It sounds like it's power in it. But it's time to tell the truth. You see? Time to tell the truth. People go into the earthly dimension, they come out just as mad as they were before they went in. They wonder why I didn't get to the new dimension. You said, Pastor, I was going to another dimension. Say you're going to take me up higher. And you can get high. You get high of words when they're spoken to you like that. We are like that. And we need to get away from being sensationalized and having our flesh fluffed. See? Got to hear what the truth of the word is saying. And so, even as we began to prepare ourselves for this transition, there are some things that we have to do to be fit for heaven. See, heaven is a fit place. It's already a prepared place. And heaven is fit. Heaven fits like a hand in a glove. Where we may be the hand and heaven is the glove. We have to fit. See, you have to practice. You have to practice living higher while you're living in the lower. Amen. Mm-hmm. Jesus tried to instruct us on how to live. That was his main structure of teaching. He said, I must teach you how to live. You see, Jesus brought the whole picture, and he called it the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, it's used, and they both carry the same connotation. But there is one thing that we need to understand. The kingdom of God is the state. Heaven is the capital. See, here we have to learn how awesome God really is. God is bigger than heaven. The kingdom of God is almost, you can't compass it. You can't compass the kingdom of God because God rules everything. He's over everything. You understand? You must understand that the kingdom of God operates where you are, above where you are, below where you are, around where you are. There are fish in the deep, 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 depths of the ocean that most of us will never see. They are operated and moved by the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that causes those fish that we'll never see to spurn underwater and continually create, and no man knows where they are. They are down so deep, they don't even need sunlight, but they live. That's the kingdom of God. I just heard last week, and it really did my heart good, that scientists have just found out that there are 40 billion more galaxies. They just found them. They just found them, but they haven't been lost. You don't find nothing that haven't been lost. That's just like you coming on my house and looking on my TV and saying, look at this $10 I found. $10 wasn't lost. So they're finding, they found 40 million more galaxies. They say that there are enough galaxies for every man, woman, boy, and girl on earth to have one. God Almighty. This is the power that encompasses the throne of God. How can we stand in a place unless God speaks gravity? In a place that keeps things where they ought to be. And then calls the earth to spin at the same time. So that we can experience four seasons. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. Sunrise, sunset. All operating by the power of God. He is awesome. And of all his creation, he calls this place that he's calling man to settle forever. He calls him, he said, I tell you what you do. I want you guys just to be located and stay in the state of heaven. The state of heaven. Because heaven is a city. Heaven is a city. A large city. And you're going to live in a city that's encompassed by a canopy. That there will be no global warming. There will be no adverse weather. See, the earth used to be under a canopy. Remember when in the days of the patriarchs when they told Noah, God told Noah, I want you to build an ark because it's going to rain. See, before the canopy was damaged, all the water came from the ground. Watered everything. Water came from the ground. God was that. Now the canopy is being worn out. But wouldn't it seem right that if there's going to be a new one, the new would come because the old one is wearing out? New Jerusalem, new heavens, because the new earth is being, the old earth is being worn out. Not running out of anything, just being worn out. The canopy is wearing out. Things are happening at a pace that God has already set the time for. They're not doing anything catching God off guard. God's got to watch. And he said, well, it's about time now. It's almost time. It's time to bring things, make all things new, he said. So he's going to make all things new. And it requires power. The same power that sustains. It says that he upholds all things by the words of his power. His words come out of his power. Woo! His words come out of his power. That means that every word that's spoken is a word of power. Got power dripping all over it. Whosoever will, let him come. Power all in his word. What kind of power? The power to send that word. The Bible says the word of God is sharper. Said it's living, it's powerful. The kind of word that'll go straight to a man or woman's heart and cause them to turn towards him. Because the word he spoke is dripping with power. Whew, I feel the power. The kind of power that he'll call your name and you look around and you don't see anybody. You can be in a crowded room, music blasting, music booming, people dancing, and you hear something say, hey. Hey. You hear him call your name, then you feel something like this. Jesus imitated his father. When Jesus was on the shore, he told the disciples, follow me. You can hear him. See, you don't hear him with this. You hear him in here. God from Zion. You hear him in here, and it emanates all through your cells. It's all in your cells. Every part of your being, everything on the inside of you, every hair on your arm, everything on the inside says, I got to go. I've got to follow God. The power to call you from the inside. Ooh, this is the power. Power. So he has all the authority. He has all the rulership. He owns everything. If God said it, I believe it. Huh? He has those kinds of credentials. That all of this is emanating from that throne. You know, we sang a song that says, he who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. Well, that's written out of Revelation 5. Because Revelation 5 tells us that nobody can open the books. Father has the books, but nobody can open them. But the Lamb. God Almighty. Nobody but the Lamb. Nobody but the Lamb can open the books. So there is equality of power that exists in the triune God. See, they're awesome. They're so awesome in everything that they do. Every move, every breath they breathe. Anything that's done from the throne emanates with the power of God. Isn't that something? Now, we're going to a place and we're going to see him all the time. Heaven has names that has been given. It used to be Abraham's bosom. That's what they called it at one time. Called it Abraham's bosom. They called it paradise. The paradise of God. They call it the house of God. This is heaven. And it seems to me that the more that they brought it to my understanding, it made me want to be there even more. Made it more comfortable for me. Now, I know we're not to get too comfortable in the church because there's a job that we must be doing. There's some things that are at hand. There are things that the kingdom of heaven has commanded us to do, and that is to reach out and evangelize and reach lives and touch people, because the same God that controls everything wants to control us. Now, if he can control the universe, he shouldn't have a problem controlling a man. He just won't override man's will. God is such a gentleman, such a good God, that he'll do nothing that you don't want to do. He's not going to spend his time riding around in you when you don't want to do his will. God, have mercy. Mm-mm. That's why doing his will is so important. Doing his will is hearing what voice comes from the throne and you obeying what the throne says, giving God access in the earth to do what he wants to do. He won't override the will of man. He'll say go, and you can say don't want to all you want to. Because he won't override your will, that doesn't mean he won't make you. You got to get an understanding that you're dealing with power. He's just being kind and generous, and sometimes gentlemanly when he just don't override your will. He made us free will agents, able to make up our own minds and make our own decisions. God desires that we make right choices, right decisions. Go in the right direction. Stop doing the wrong thing. Do the right thing. You have enough of him in you to make right decisions. He is so good that before you even got saved, he deposited a little bit of himself in his creation. You got enough God in you as an unsaved man to learn how to walk right. I don't want to hear anybody tell me, I can't help it. I just can't help it. Yes, you can help it. You got the creator of all of heaven and earth in you. Just a smidgen of him. I call it do right. Oh, you can do right if you want to. Yeah, yeah. And then when you give your life to him, he has the authority to come in and live in a fullness. Sharabandarabasa. He can live in a fullness on the inside of you. God Almighty, it's available. It's available to have God living in you in fullness. Hoo-wee. Where it leaves you so weak when you try to work on your own, knowing that it was him who carried you all through that day. And then feels like, okay, where did you go? And then you tired. Because the Lord been doing all the work. He been doing all the carrying. And you wonder, why am I so tired? Yeah. God. We must get a new picture of the God that we serve. How awesome he really is. God. Jesus still going to be the king. Jesus going to be the king. See, in that realm that we're dealing with, it's not as we perceive it. What we become accustomed to. When we think of kings, because we're brought up in a country that we elect presidents, we don't really understand kingship. We don't understand that. We understand presidents and vice presidents and crooks. We're just not treated fair. And even in understanding kingship here, we still don't thoroughly understand kingship there. See? Because they're going to bow. We're going to bow. We're going to bow at the throne. But we're also going to be bound at Jesus' feet. There's going to be some dual bowing going on. Some of us may not ever have a chance to stand up again. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be bowing, bowing, holy, holy, holy. God Almighty. But the goodness of our God and the graciousness of our God is going to allow us to rise up and live in this wonderful capital called heaven. Abraham's bosom. See? It's Jacob that had a vision of a ladder, you know, ascending and descending. He saw angels going up and down, coming to heaven, leaving heaven. That's why I think, like we've been going through, the open door allows me to know that there's access in and out of heaven. That Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending. It's a place of being able to come out and go back in if you rightly belong there. If you don't rightfully belong there, you won't have that access to come and go when you please. There's only two places that you're going. There's only two places to go. Amen. There may be it may be 40 million galaxies. but there's only two eternal places you're going. You mean to tell me I'm going to live eternally? Yes, you are. You're going to live forever in one or two places. God is so good, he only give us two choices. You know, you can't beat that unless make a deal. two. Choose or choose the door. He doesn't say door number one, two, three, four. He just said, choose ye this day who you going to serve. You can choose heaven or you can choose the door. And the door, everybody knows what's on the other side of it. I have to describe this to my brother, that heaven is a place of paradise and bliss. Wonderful. Goodness too vast to mention. But hell, you can pretty much paint a picture of hell any way you want. All you have to do is paint tears and suffering and torment, pain, sickness, disease, all of that. Hell is like Alcatraz back in the day. You see Alcatraz, but then if you look across the bay, you can see San Francisco. You can see beautiful San Francisco, oh, the beauty of it. I believe it looked beautiful to those who were incarcerated. Yeah. Not a pretty sight, but if you're behind the walls of Alcatraz. And in between the city and Alcatraz, there's a bay, there's a lake, there's an ocean. And they said that Alcatraz was inescapable. And if you did escape, you had to try to swim through shark-infested waters. So if you got out of the building, the sharks would make sure you don't get to the city. That's hell. To be in hell and to see heaven and know you can't get there. I can't get there. Remember now, it can be seen. Jesus ran into a man, and it was a rich man, and he asked the question, send me somebody. Send somebody in my family. Somebody let me tell them about this place. He just wanted his finger to touch water. He was so thirsty. Just let me tip my finger in the water. Just a tip. He could see. He could see where Lazarus went. He saw he went up to Abraham's bosom. Saw him carried away. But while he was still in torment, he was able to look up and see that. See, heaven is always up. Heaven is up. Don't let anybody fool you. Heaven is always up. And he looked up and saw that. He was told, if you didn't believe it while you was on earth, why are you going to believe it when I send dead people to you? That ain't going to work. And so you think about Alcatraz. Alcatraz in its heyday was the place for the worst criminals. And you had to worry about them being seen again forever. Shark-infested waters, just in case you do. The sharks made sure they didn't get to the city. There is a heaven. There is a hell. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Amen. To the Christian, heaven is more like an undiscovered country. No turmoil created by man's hand. In fact, nothing exists there with man's ingenuity or his involvement. The only man-made things that are in heaven are the nail-pierced hand and the feet of Jesus the Christ. That's the only man-made things in heaven. The holes in his hands and in his feet. He got those down here. And there are signs of his relationship with us. It's his sign of love for how much he loved us. He could have received the glorified body and did without the holes. But as a reminder of his love for mankind, he decided to take the nail-scarred hands and feet to heaven with him. That's how much I love you. God Almighty. So that's the only thing in heaven that's man-made. It's not anything in heaven that man can brag about. As we are held captive, bound to a sinful earth, we are held captive here. one can't help but get a little homesick, desiring to see a house not made with hands. We long to view its radiance, to touch and taste its waters. I want to taste what water tastes like. Man, it's got to be good. See, they tell us the water here is pure. They even show us different bottles to show you that it's more pure than the last one. You look in the stores and water can go up in prices. 45 cents, 69 cents, 79 cents, $1.25, $1.35, $1.45, $2.25. The higher the price, the more pure it's supposed to be. They even don't sell certain water. They don't sell certain expensive water in the place of regular water. You have to go look on the shelf back in the store. Maybe where the fruits and vegetables are located. And you'll find water in tall, slim, luxurious bottles that attract your attention. I saw one the other day, and it's not even called water. It's called water. W water. W-A-T-A-A-A-A-H. Water. $1.29. Pure. Pure. I'm going to get one and bring it and let you see it. That's what it's called. That's the pronunciation of it. I said, man, that's tough. I mean, it was so tough, I almost bought it. You know? Water! Wow. Wow. I'm going to get that water. So we'll get to taste the purity of it, its atmosphere. We'll even get a chance to walk heaven's streets of gold. I'm told that on the shores of the Adriatic Sea, the wives of fishermen whose husbands are far out to sea are in the habit of going down to the seashore. And they go at night. And what the wives do is they sweetly sing the first verse of some beautiful hymn. And after they've sung it, they listen until they hear, brought on by the wind across the sea, the second verse sung by their brave husbands. They go down and they sing a verse because they're out there fishing. And the wind carries the sound of their voices. And they sing, and then they stay there on the shore and they wait until the husbands sing back. The second verse comes on the winds and the waters, and they are both happy when they hear that. That is what we have to do. Is we sing our song to the Lord, but we have to have the dexterity and the patience enough to sit and wait so that when he sings back, glory to God. When God sings back to us. We'll sing the first verse to him, and he'll sing the second verse back. Do you believe that God will sing to you? Yeah, he will. He will. You guys know my experience. I was in the car singing by myself. And then I hear these voices singing with me. And I look around. I'm looking around. And it's God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, singing in perfect harmony. And I was just so pleased that they allowed me to fit in. I thought I was singing my song. They joined right in. And I just thought to myself, that's their song. I'm just a part of it. And so they go down and sing those hymns to make sure. Because, you know, when you are in the fishing world, in that business, in the places where it is your job, and it is the job of that entire city, and it's dependent upon how many fish they catch. Those gale winds can turn a boat upside down. And they risk their lives every day going out for the sake of that small city. And they hear those songs, and man, I know it must do wonders for the men out there. I don't know how lonely it can be out on those waters, but I'm pretty sure that it can get that way. Wow. Isn't it something that there was a question once asked in the Old Testament by a group of captives? And they asked this question, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can we sing that? That's Psalm 137. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? See, this is what you have to work on being fit for. There's some things that happen in this earth that really doesn't please the way we are made. Once you become a born-again believer, you are quickly put into a place where you have to be changed. The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's... But it takes time. You have to go through the process of having all of these new areas installed in your life. You, on the inside, you have to be changed greatly. There's not so much work that has to be on the outside, because most often what happens on the inside affects the outside. If you are in Christ and you're still misbehaving, it means simply that there's some work in you that has to be done, because the work in you reflects on the outside of you. If you are bad behaving, and you're crazy acting and mean to folk and impatient with people and get mad if they step on your toe and get all out of shape because you thought they called your name, and you need work on the inside. That's why Jesus told us in John the 14th chapter, he said, you need something, and I'm going to give him to you. But I can't give him to you until I leave. When I'm gone, I'll send you a comforter. I'm not belittling the Holy Spirit in any shape, form, or fashion when I say this, and I pray that he'll excuse me for using this. But Jesus, in essence, is saying, I'll send you a fitness trainer. Because you need to get in shape. Where you're going in that condition, you won't fit. No, you won't fit. You won't fit that place that we just finished describing. This place that you're going to is full of peace, full of joy, full of completeness, full of perfection. No backbiting, no back scratching. None of that exists where you're going. But in order for you to get there and thoroughly be excited about where you're going, you have to start practicing now. Get yourself together now. It is no reason for us to still have the same shortcomings that we've had for the last 10, 15 years. Shouldn't have them. Not with a fitness trainer. Thank you, Jesus. Now listen to what I've said already. Now, if God is powerful enough to sustain galaxies, the universe, heaven itself, why is it that we can't conform to his ways with the help of the Holy Spirit? He knows you can't do it on your own. Jesus knew that. That's why he says, I'll send you another one. Just like me. Just like me, I'm going to send you another comforter. And the comforter, the Holy Spirit, is also known as the Paracletos. They call him the Paraclete, the one that walks alongside of us. He is a trainer that never leaves you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always in the training mode. He's always walking along beside us. All you have to do is have your senses sharpened, that you'll know some by discernment that the Holy Spirit is with me. It does not matter if you're going through a hard time. It does not matter if things don't seem right to you, if things don't seem to be going your way, or if you got up on the wrong side of the bed. The Holy Spirit is there to train us how to live in the earth as if we're going to heaven. He's right beside you. Not only is he one to walk along beside you, Jesus called him the helper. You can't do it, call out for help. Yeah, God. What kind of trainer is this that all you have to do is call him and then say, will you help me? And the trainer gets in the mode of doing what the trainer was sent to do. Not only will I never leave you, but I'll help you in a time of trouble. I'll help you when things don't go your way. I'll help you when folk talking about you behind your back. I'll give you the strength to endure. I'm your trainer. It's the Holy Spirit. God. Personal trainer. He's with me. With me in a time of trouble. You see, I tell you how rough it can be. They say, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange, a foreign land? Sometimes it becomes difficult to sing a praise song because of the atmosphere that we live in. See, you I'll say this again. We are in bondage to the earth. And we are going to have to face the adversities that come our way. That's what happens when you're a prisoner. You don't have a right to complain. You're a prisoner. Get what we give you. Get what we give you. You're in prison. You mean tell me I can't go out there and say Jesus' name in school? You're in prison. Can't pray in public? You're in prison. I know there's some laws that we can do that. You're in prison. As long as you're in this earth, you're going to face adversity. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. Yes, sir. That's right. Long as you're here. That's right. Paul said, whenever I do good, always present. So there's no way you can go on the earth and be away from it. You can live as good a life as you want to, but every day you live good, evil's always going to be there with you. You do something right, next hour you want to do something wrong. You just finish laying somebody out, and then you want to go and pray. Then after you pray, you find out that somebody's coming to the Lord. Right after you finish leading somebody to the Lord, here comes adversity. Just when you thought everything ought to go your way, I should have a nice day after doing that. But after you do that, here comes this. You're in prison. Paul showed us a symbol. Paul went in his situation while he was one time accosted by the Roman guards. He said, I would preach this gospel to you, but without these chains. Those chains speak of us being in prison in this earth. You got to ask yourself the question, what has me chained? What are you chained to? Why you can't do the things you want to do? What has you chained and tied down? Why you can't evangelize? Who you chained to? Why you can't love somebody? Who you chained to? Why you can't do what the commandments are saying from the throne of God? Who are and what are you chained to? Are you chained to a whole bunch of excuses? Why you can't do it? Here you got the Holy Spirit on the one side. You got God living over you. And you got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Son of God, living on the inside. Christ in you. The hope of glory. And you said, I can't do that? You're in chains. This earth is full of chains. How can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Paul made this statement one time. Paul said, I'm caught betwixt two. Yes, sir. I got heaven pulling me this way, and I got the earth pulling me that way. I want to go to heaven, but I got to stay here for your sake. I'm caught in between two. How many of us are caught in between two? You know you want to serve God, but the world is pulling on you. You want to do the Lord's will, but the world is pulling on you. The world has got you by one hand, and God got you by the other. You're caught in between, don't know which way to go. I'm caught in between. I'm caught in between. I'm caught in between. God, I'm caught in between. Hallelujah. I'm caught in between. See? You know, and see, the reason that we go through this is simply because of this. You don't fit here. See? God didn't save you to cause you to feel like you fit here now. You never have fit here. You don't fit here. And so what God has done way in advance, he has in advance prepared a place for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The place is already a prepared place. Everything that you ever want and desire in your life is already there. Everything. There is not one thing in heaven good that you won't be able to find. Everything is good. Everything is good. There's not one thing bad there. But in order for you to fit it, God got to break them chains down here. Because even though you are chained to this place, you don't have to walk like it. Because the scripture says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm already free. I'm free. I'm free. In the midst of chains, I'm free. In the midst of bondages, I'm free. In the midst of lies and what people think, I'm free of that. I'm free. Glory to God. You can talk about me all you like. That don't bother me no more. It used to, but I'm in the process. And the process has shifted those chains and broken those chains and caused me to walk upright and say good morning even in the midst of you hating me. You don't like me, but I love you. You don't have to care about me, but I love you. It doesn't matter to me what you think. I love you. I'm not going to, and I refuse to let you put me back in bondage. You won't put another chain around my neck. You won't put another chain around my ankle. You won't put another chain around my wrist. I am free. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Shout to the Lord if you're free. Glory. Glory, hallelujah, 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 free, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, free, see, no, 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 no. Oh, you got to learn how to shake it off. That's what you got to do. You got to learn how to shake it off. That stuff used to hold me, but you got to learn how to shake that stuff off. Shake it off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. Paul said in Philippians 3, he said, our citizenship is in heaven. See, that gives us, the Holy Spirit is letting us know, okay, this is what you are working to achieve. You're already a citizen. You haven't even seen that kingdom yet. You haven't even been to the state of God. But you're already a citizen. Meaning that if you're a citizen already, you got rights that you don't even know about yet. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm living here on earth, and he tells me you're a citizen. Already accepted. I'm a citizen. I got rights of a citizen. I can come and go when I want to. I don't need a passport. I'm going where I want to go. I'm going straight to heaven. And this is, now see, what we talked about earlier, now we're going to a new dimension. That's a new dimension, see. Heaven is a new dimension. And we must become more aware and prepared. Now listen to this. Look at this example. When an astronaut leaves this atmosphere, they go through training. They go through years of training. And what they have to do in this training is they're learning how to become acclimated to a new dimension. You see, they have to become acclimated to an arena that they're not accustomed to. I wasn't born here, but I have to get acclimated to it. And so what they'll do, they go through training, and they'll learn how to live a weightless life. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that was coming up. Didn't know. You have to live a weightless life because the gravitational pull on this earth no longer has a hold on you. So now they're learning how to live with less weight. I tell you what. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Wow. Got to become adapted. Got to make some adjustments. Got to have some preparation. Hebrews chapter 12. Oh, my goodness. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Give us a fitness trainer that has no other agenda except that to make us ready. Make us ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you there? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. Listen to what he says here. He says, oh my goodness. Wherefore, seeing, that's the first thing the astronauts do when they get up there, they start looking. Because they're seeing things they've never seen. You know, they're seeing stuff. They're seeing stuff come to them. And sometimes some of the things that's flying by, some stuff stops right in the midst of the atmosphere. That would blow my mind. That would blow my mind. I'm seeing something flying, and all of a sudden it stops right in midair. And then the next thing you know, gone. So he says, listen. He says, wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, he says, lay aside every weight. And then he says, and every besetting sin. Do you know what besetting sins are? There are sins that like to hang around you. There are sins that you let hang around you. In fact, the word besetting means hang out with. They hang out with you. These are the sins that you are accustomed to, and you become so accustomed to them that they're no longer sins. They're buddies. They're your buddies now. They're no longer sins. They're just the company you keep. And so instead of the sin hanging around you, now you hanging out with them. Besetting sins. Paul says, lay aside every weight. See, you got to get in that atmosphere where you become weightless. You got to stop. Another, let me give you this. You know those air balloons, those heated air balloons? The balloonists who use those, they use sand. And I guess they call them ballast, sand ballast. Well, they have those. And what they do is they keep the balloon either low to the ground or higher, depending on how many sand ballast you want to throw off. See, when you throw off the sand ballast, what happens is the balloon goes higher. Mm-mm-mm. What he's actually doing, he's throwing aside the weight. And every time he wants to go higher, he throws off another bag. See, in order to get to God, glory to God, you got to throw some stuff off. Mm-mm-mm. You got to learn how to throw, because the more you throw off, the closer you get. You got to learn how to throw it off. What weight does it have to be for you to rise higher in God? Whatever it is, you know what it is. You know what the chains are. You know what the weights are, the besetting sins. If you would just let it go, you'll get closer to God. Get higher. You'll get up higher. The balloon goes higher. Heaven is up. I would rather go higher. So I understand that what I must do if I want to get even higher, I got to throw away every weight. I got to throw it to the side. I got to find out into myself and do some personal inventory and find out what is it that's keeping me from God. What am I doing that keeps me from viewing him and seeing him the way that I know I should be? I got to take that sand ballast and throw it out of my balloon so I can get higher in God. See, everybody wants to go in God, but do you want to get higher? Huh? See, because I found out this one thing. The higher you go, the smaller the prison looks. Jesus. The higher I go, the place that held me captive gets smaller and smaller. Let me tell you something. You don't have to be in a balloon before your circumstances and all the adversaries and all the things that come against you on earth get smaller. They'll get smaller while you're walking on the earth. It'll be things that you say, man, that used to bother me. I can't even hardly see it now. What do you say about that, huh? I'm in a place in God now that used to bother me. That used to be a big issue in my life. It was ever looming over my life. It always seemed to be peering at me. But the more I let go, the smaller it got. Smaller the circumstances. The smaller the problem. I used to have a problem not paying that bill. If they want it, come get it. I will not be chained to a television. I will not be chained to a car. I will not be chained to a bedroom suit. I will not be tied down because I'm trying to go higher in God. Glory to God. You got to throw the weight out. Got to go higher. Going higher. Got to go higher. Got to go higher. Holy Spirit knows exactly what he does. You see? Holy Spirit is working with us, and the first thing he wants to do is change our mind. See, you got to have a mind change. Even though you're going through change, you got to have a mind change. That's one of the first things that has to be changed. See? God was the work. He wants to work on the inside of us. But the mind is the base of man. If whoever controls that controls the person. If God controls your thought life, God's got you. If the devil controls your thought life, the devil's got you. We got to learn how to think right. Stop fooling your... Stop filling your mind with a whole lot of junk. That junk not going to move you. It's not going to elevate you. It's not going to prepare you. You don't want to go to heaven with a dirty mind. No, you won't. The place you're going is too pure for dirty minds. Got to learn how to lay aside that weight. Got to lay aside the weight and get your mind changed. First thing a mind has to be taught is that you are a believer. I have to have that in my mind, that I'm a believer. That has to be instilled in me. What do believers do? Believe. Isn't that easy? Believers believe. The blind men came to Jesus, two of them, and they cried out of their blindness. And they said, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus asked this question, do you believe that I'm able to do this? The first thing he wanted to check and find out is their belief system working. If you're going to heaven, you must have a belief system that works. If those astronauts had to have a spacesuit to operate in that new dimension, then you have to have a spacesuit that's just as equitable as they have. You have to have a right mind to be able to function in this three-dimensional world the way God wants you to function, in a place of imprisonment, knowing that you're going to a higher dimension. You got to have your mind changed. Got to be a believer. You get your mind changed, you start believing that you're a believer. He that believeth that he is the Son of Man, Son of God, has eternal life. If you believe. If you believe, you have eternal life. Got to believe. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. You have to believe when you pray. Not believe after you pray. Believe when you pray. I'm praying, I believe it right now. Right now, I thank you. I believe it right now. And I get up off my knees and I thank God that I received it already. I believe that I receive. I'm a believer. What's a believer that doesn't believe? Unbeliever. Huh? The Holy Spirit is here to teach us. He's training us how to believe. He's training us how to have a changed mind. This mind you have is the mind of Christ. And that's what he's sent here to do. He's here to translate the thoughts of Christ into our thinking. That we'll start responding like Jesus. He showed us how to do it. Read your word, you follow Jesus' walkings, his talkings, and you can easily have your mind transformed mind. But I know that if the mind is of Christ is translated, then everything in me will be transformed. I need to be transformed. I need to change my perception of me. See, and this doesn't give us the ability to think that we're better than anybody else because we're being changed. Because we're also told in Hebrews 12 not to think highly of yourself than your own. So that's part of the process. See, I want you to think high, but not higher than you ought to. Think that you're bad, but don't think you're that bad. Think that you're tough, but you ain't that tough. We want to keep you in a balanced place. It's nothing better than being balanced. I'm not out of kilter. I'm right where God wants me to be. I'm being controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. See, once you've been led by the Holy Spirit, that means you're in the Holy Spirit's training. He's teaching you. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven without the fruit of the Spirit. You can't go there without the fruit of the Spirit operating in your life. You can't go to heaven backbiting. What kind of God you think we serve? If you think like that, you're thinking just like a lot of these people out in the world think. They think that somebody can play hell, and then when they die, they get this vision that they're looking down on them. No. They're looking up at you. Because you can sing all the hellish, worldly songs you want to, and then all of a sudden at your deathbed, you're all of a sudden in heaven. Without Jesus? No. You can't get in heaven without Jesus. You can't get in there without Jesus. That's why he's preparing us to fit a prepared place. Jesus said, I'm going to fix the place up for you. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to come and fix you up for it. You can't get in without me. And so you hear people say it all the time. Well, you know they're up there looking at me. Most often, they're not looking at you. They're looking at him. They're looking at the throne. They're looking at Jesus. You know, up there, you don't want to take your eyes off of him. See? And so we got to get past the myths and see exactly what the scriptures say. What does the Bible say? See? That's what we need to do. We need to know what the Bible says. Stick with that. That's what gives us hope. That's what gives us assurance. The word of God. We get assurance from the word. We got to lose confidence in our flesh. That's what Philippians said. Have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence. We'll close on this. Colossians 3:1 says, seek those things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And it says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. How do you set your mind? You got to make a quality decision. You know, I heard Dr. Creflo talking this morning. Creflo was talking about watching over blessed words. He says, what's the problem? Why we can't speak blessed words? You don't wait to church, go to church to sing, speak blessed words. He says, speak blessed words every time you get out of bed. He's talking about being practicing there, by the Holy Spirit. Get out of bed saying blessed things. You know, good morning used to be all right, but now you can say something more. You know, that's what happens sometimes when you say the same thing over and over time. It becomes repetitious, loses its meaning. You know, sometimes you got to say a little bit more. Sometimes you got to stretch your hand out and say, in the name of Jesus, bless you. Bless your conversation. Bless the way you walk and talk. We got to bless. You got to speak blessed words. I was watching my wife and I, we were watching Andy and Mayberry one night. And I love them. And it's this family that live on the outskirts of town. This husband and wife live on the outskirts of town. They live just far enough where people can hear them argue. And they argue all the time. That's how they got along. They fuss, she throw plates, and he's calling her name. He's calling her names like you wide mouth bass and you all kinds of names they call each other, but they throwing stuff. And so Andy goes in, he's a personal trainer. Andy goes in as a personal trainer and he tells her, and this young man tells him, you guys gotta learn how to act better or you're going to jail. Jail? No, Andy. No, we're not going to jail. And they love each other with bad treatment. They thought they were doing the right thing. And so Andy took them out, and Andy started saying, well, this is how you have to change. You have to change your words. You got to speak blessed words. Instead of saying the names that you called, just say, good morning, dear. Boy, he thought that was the worst thing he could say. He almost got sick. Oh, he got sick trying to say, oh. And he told her, and Andy told her, and you have to say, when he says good morning, dear, you said good morning, honey. She said, I'd rather eat an elephant. But see, they had to learn how to use blessed words. Say more than what they've been saying. Say something opposite of the way you've been acting, and just do things the opposite. That's the mind change that takes place by the unction of the Holy Spirit. When we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit will change our conversation. He changed our conversation by changing our perspective. You see? There's love that hadn't been explored, hasn't been explained, hadn't been shown forth, that you have on the inside of us. So we can use blessed words when we have options. We got options to use blessed words. When things don't go your way, what's wrong with using blessed words? That's the best time to practice. When you're under adversity, you know, use blessed words while you're chained. See? Watch that chain disappear. Huh? Watch that weight fall off once you start using the right words. There's a myriad of words that we can use as opposed to what we've been saying. And not only do we change our words, change your attitude behind them. I didn't mean to say it like that. Don't. If you didn't mean it, don't do it. See, you have to learn. Hallelujah. That's the whole purpose of Jesus sending the Comforter here. We're going to make mistakes, but in the process of making mistakes, you learn. I learn through my mistakes. Hallelujah. Are you fit for heaven? Glory to God. I believe God wants to do some wonderful things in us. Wonderful things. Wants to strengthen us on every hand. Wants to elevate us so that the higher we go, the smaller the earth's circumstances look. Man. Don't you know, you get up in that plane and you start seeing, and you see that plane leaving, you see it leaving, you see neighborhoods. Then all of a sudden the neighborhood starts shrinking. Then you start trying to figure out what is what. Next thing you know, you're in the clouds. You can't see anything hardly. But all the problems of the world are down there. That's what you see. My little problems are disappearing. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready for the training, though? Holy Spirit is going to be training you. You got to recognize him while he's doing it. He wants you to recognize him. He wants you to acknowledge him in all our ways. God, thank you. Thank you that I'm going through. But I know I'm going through with a helper. I got the paraclete. He's with me. Hallelujah. Father, these are your unique people. They're all unique. Each in their own way. All unique and all submitted to what you would have you to do in their lives. Not impose yourself and impose your will on us, but because you're such a good God, you'll be very polite in how you handle your children. But first, Lord, we must admit that we need help. We admit to the places that we want you to invite and want to invite you in, and that you may help us in those areas. Anything that hinders our relationship, I need help. I need help. So I thank you. I thank you as my personal trainer. I cry sometimes. We cry because we hurt sometimes. And I know it's not a luxury, but you afford it to us anyhow. That there are certain things, Lord, that's going to bring tears to our eyes, bring pain to our hearts. But because you are the Comforter who promises that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you'll keep me fit for the journey, that you won't allow any animosity to enter into my heart, any bitterness, any root of bitterness, that you won't allow those things in my heart. We pray that you would strengthen us and encourage us, push us forward. We submit to your will. Lord God, we submit to your ways, that you will have your way in us. Cause us to walk upright, keep our heads up, be strengthened by your mighty power that just exudes from your throne. We're thankful. Help me to be a better neighbor. Help us to be better friends, better family. Holy Spirit, you have your way in us. We give you praise. Thank you for being with us on this journey. For it is through you that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Thank you. If you're in this place and there's prayer that you need in your life, this altar is open.